Hi everyone, I'm Nicole, and you're listening to All Access Pass, a show brought to you by the Accessibility Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam people. So for today's episode, we've got two very special guests. We have Kevin and Nikki, and they actually recently just finished biking across Canada. So hi, Kevin and Nikki.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you two today?
Oh, great. Thank you.
Good. Excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It's 6 p.m. PST, but in over there, it's like, what, 7, 6, 7, 8, it's 9 p.m. It's late. So I really appreciate you two making the time for this.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Kevin, Nikki, just biked across Canada. What was the start point? And the end point was in Victoria, as I understand. But where was the start point?
We started in St. John's, Newfoundland at Cape Spear, the most eastern point, and biked from there.
All right, and then you finished in Victoria, BC. You got to take the ferry.
Yeah, we took a couple ferries, which was kind of nice.
I really enjoy the ferry. How long was that trip?
Just over 4 months. It was quite a long trip.
Okay, so it was over the summer.
Yes.
To deal with all the weird weather of Canada.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. Like going across Canada, like Newfoundland, like we went through a hurricane and then...
Oh my gosh.
Then like go through wildfires, but they were... around, and we made it to the end. So it was Canada's weather is definitely unpredictable.
up north they say. So Kevin hand cycled across Canada, and Nikki, you rode a regular road bike, I assume.
Yep, you can actually see it behind me, but okay. it's a gravel bike with road tires.
Beautiful. I think that's the way to go. Gravel bike, interchangeable tires, so versatile.
There you go.
This princess.
So,
explain that. Kevin uses has a little battery that helps on his bike.
Okay, let's hear about that.
Yeah. So my bike, it clips to my wheelchair, and I pedal with my arms.
Yeah.
But there's a battery that like helps me a bit.
Okay.
So, I wouldn't be able to keep up with Nikki if I didn't have it. So.
Yeah.
Me a power assist princess.
So Kevin, if you feel comfortable, would you like to share what disability you have?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm right now, if you look at me, I'm a C6 quadriplegic.
Mm-hmm.
I was injured in 2009. A big wave dumped me head first into the ocean floor, paralyzed me, and I initially was C4. So initially, I could only shrug my shoulders, and that's what they said I was going to get. And now I've got some use of my arms, so like my biceps,
mm-hmm.
I don't have triceps, or hand function. So I'm a quadriplegic, so C6 quadriplegic.
Okay, I see. And as I understand it, pre-accident, you were always a very active person. You like to do a lot of different outdoor activities. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was in a rock climbing, free diving, running, swimming. Yeah, it was part of my life, and I was a paramedic, so my job was active too. So, yeah, I had a very active lifestyle.
Okay, so post accident, did you like immediately try to find new ways to have that outlet in your life, or were you like, I don't know, it doesn't seem possible?
For me, it was, honestly just discovering activity-based therapy. Like
okay.
I wasn't at the point where I could participate in things. So I looked at, I went down to this program in the US, and then my wife, Heather, brought Walk It Off back to Canada. Brought our not-for-profit Walk It Off back to Canada. And for me, that just allowed me to get enough function where I could start participating.
Okay, awesome.
So it took a while, but I eventually was able to get into different sports.
Okay, and then cycling, hand cycling just stuck for you.
Yeah, for me, I started like pushing my wheelchair, and I started doing half marathons, and it just got more and more into it. And I eventually went from one type of hand cycle, like a lie down hand cycle, and I did full marathons. And eventually, I got this attachment, which allowed me to like bike with my son Evan, and that's what allowed me to start biking with Nikki. And we were biking every day after work. And yeah, so it just went from there.
So, Nikki, let's bring you into the picture. How do you know Kevin?
I am Kevin's osteopath and neuro recovery trainer. So I
Okay.
work at Walk It Off and I do his rehab to help keep his body limber and strong and able to push a whole hand cycle across Canada.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew Kevin. Sorry?
She kept me healthy across Canada.
I kept him healthy across Canada. And then we started biking after work, and that's where kind of the friendship got built, and then the trip got built. So
Wow,
it all started.
that's really special and unique. I mean, to like have met in these in the circumstances of being someone who was helping him heal and then going to we are going to accomplish this amazing, really difficult thing together. That is really cool.
Thank you. It was such a like so Nikki kind of said to me one day, I've got a really important question to ask you. And on a bike ride like together, she's like, do you want to bike across Canada with
Oh, this
me?
was Nikki's idea.
Nikki. But for her, it was just like a friend asking another friend to bike her across Canada who happened to have a disability. It wasn't really the point. And then when she said it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so important. Like, it can help so many people. So I
Yeah.
don't really think she understood the magnitude of what she was asking and what she was asking. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, that's so special that I can't like quite put it into words. I don't think I have words for it just to like say, "Hey, let's do this thing together," without like being like, "I know you have this disability." Just, "No, we're gonna do this thing together and it's possible and we're gonna do it." That's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. Like she took like over 4 months out of her life and her career and away from her partner and dog and yeah, just
Not
to
the dog.
probably the
And Kevin, what
biggest
do
thing.
you do for work?
I'm on long-term disability. I was a
Okay.
paramedic and I work at well, I don't want to say I work. I volunteer at Walk It Off or
Okay.
Spinal Center, and then I started peddling possibilities.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was a paramedic before this, but
Yeah, I really like paramedics. Every paramedic I've met has like been wonderful. I don't know what it is about them.
well, that's
But
I'm
I've
glad.
had yeah, I've had a lot of unfortunate run-ins with paramedics, but I've always had pleasant experiences.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Pedaling Possibilities. So it was created during the trip, before the trip.
Before the trip, when Nikki asked me, I was kind of like, this can help other people. So we like made the not-for-profit Pedaling Possibilities, and just made it so we could share our route, share about accessibility and the importance of everything, and just like a platform. Like this trip is a platform to show how important accessibility and activity after injury is.
Yeah, I took a look at your website and kind of your mission statement, and I think what spoke to me most was creating this space and really encouraging activity for people with disabilities. Like, that's really what stood out to me. And you know, I feel like you see a lot of like Paralympians and you see a lot of like really amazing figures of that do a lot of sport and activity and have disabilities, but there isn't this like culture of anybody with a disability can do it. It's like you have to be super high achieving to be someone with a disability and doing an activity and not just like, "Oh, I'm just like a person. I don't need to go win the Paralympics. I just do it because it's good for me. It makes me happy. It makes me healthy." So that was like a very unique aspect from pedaling possibilities that I interpreted, at least.
Well, I appreciate that. Like, that's kind of a unique point because, like, I was getting into hand cycling, but I'm like a very high level injury, so I wasn't competitive. So I even went to nationals, and I actually got turned around because they're like, "You're too slow," kind of thing. So, yeah. So having like that platform where it's like you don't have to be elite, just get out there and active, I think is super important.
Yeah, and I think that is just equally as important as being elite. It's not of lesser value than being someone who goes to Pan Am Games and wins medals. And I'm very sorry to Nathan, who is another paracyclist that I had on here 2 weeks ago, who does win medals.
I have talked to our Paralympians and they're amazing and
Yeah, really amazing. But I do think that, like, it's like for people without disabilities, you've got the people that just do sport and activity because they love it, because they enjoy it. They don't need to be elite. And then for people with disabilities, there's this like weird standard that if you are gonna do it, you have to be amazing. And it's like, no, like loving the sport is something that transcends disability.
that's such a honestly I love that point. Like I was like, if I can inspire someone to get on their bike, get out, get active, to me that's the trip's worth it. So it's like just inspiring anyone to get out and get active to me is so important.
That's so great. It's been such a big part of like physical healing, mental healing, just honestly connecting with the outdoors, connecting with the people you meet along the way. Cycling is a very special sport, I've found. Special in the sense that I left a sport that was really harmful for my mental well-being and honestly my physical well-being. And then I found cycling, and I don't know what it is. Like, I'm sure once you get to an elite enough level, it starts getting bad, but like, just everybody is so kind, and everybody knows that everyone has different goals. And we're all in the same field, we're all racing the same race, but it's like, hey, the goal of the race for me was to win, but the goal of the race for you was to finish with the group, and everyone is very okay with that. And I really hope that that attitude in the able-bodied cycling community really transcends to the disability cycling community.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's a great point for sure.
Yeah. So, Nikki, why did you want to bike across Canada? Was it just like a long-time goal?
Well, Kevin and I were doing lots of bike rides after work, and
Yeah.
some were 30 kilometers, some were 50, some were 100. And if I have one life on this planet, I want to kind of push it to the limit. And I love to be on my bike, and I love to bike with Kevin. He pushed me just as much as I tried to push myself. So, I'm going to start a family and all that soon. So if I'm going to do something big, I should do it soon. And that's when I asked Kevin because he's my favorite person to bike with. And then it kind of transcended into this big project. And I'm so grateful it did. But initially, it wasn't the idea of my head. It was just to see if two friends can just make it across the country. And but I'm glad what it became, what it turned out to. It's inspiring to bike beside Kevin, and I know even at Walk It Off, a lot of people, all the clientele, really look up to Kevin. I don't think Kevin realizes this, but when Kevin comes in with his bike and he just comes in to say hi or like meet me before we go for our bike ride, everyone's like, "Oh, there's Kevin! Oh, there's Kevin! How's Kevin doing?" Like they're in such awe of him that he like found a sport and pursued it and like pursues it every day, like found his p new passion. And I think individuals who lose a lot of their physical abilities like are trying to find that thing that makes them feel good again. And Kevin's found something that kind of clicked. And I think a lot of people look at him and say like, "I need to find that thing." So now we are taking that look from Walk It Off and bringing it across the whole country. So now hundreds and thousands of people are looking at Kevin in the same limelight and hopefully doing something about it. And funding's one thing, but just starting that, getting the gears turning of, oh, there's a bike out there I can attach to my wheelchair. Okay, maybe there's something else that can attach to this device. Like it's at least starting things the I don't know, the idea of the process
It
in
starts a
their heads.
much bigger conversation. Like it really like it, it's an attention grabber, and it's something that you can't just be like, oh, like, what if this happened? It's like you put it into action, you make it happen, and suddenly everyone's like, oh, because I've seen this thing happen, there are so many other possibilities out there. That is a really
Yeah.
cool thing that you guys did, is you really just like saw the wall and you were like, well, we're not going to figure out how to go around it or go on top of it. We're just going to go through it and just see what happens, which is like truly just such a cool thing.
Yeah, I really hope this isn't the last time we see someone with a disability do something of this magnitude, whether it's across Canada following our route or making their own route or doing something just as big, but an idea and then just making it happen, not saying, oh, but because I have a disability, I can't do it. It's finding the resources. It might take a couple extra steps, but doing it and trying it and just doing it.
That is, it's just been, wow. Part one has been so emotional and profound. We're not even at part two yet. We haven't even had the ad break yet. No, but this is like just such a wonderful discussion so far on how like disabilities aren't limiting if you don't let them be, and you can just do it. Like, there's what is stopping you? But we are gonna go to ad break right now. But when we come back, we're gonna talk about the actual ride and the logistics. So stay tuned.
For sure.
This is a journey into sound. I shouldn't be nudging. Gotta have house music.
Hi, this is DJ Wah, inviting you to join me every second Sunday at 8 p.m. here on 101.9 CITR for Techno Progressivo. You in my head now, my life. This is the house that funk built. This is the house that funk built. Techno Progressivo is the only radio show in Vancouver where you'll hear the best mix of new tech house, techno, and progressive house. A body bang. So join me every second Sunday at 8 p.m. for Techno Progressivo. House music.
House music. Do you love to read, but your friends and family are tired of you droning on and on about your latest book? Well, forget them, because you have me now. Hi, I'm Randy from Dog-Eared Radio Book Club, a book club coming to you through the airwaves from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. every 2 weeks on Tuesday evenings on CITR 101.9 FM. Tune in to hear the rambling thoughts of a fellow reader that are factually supported by my co-host of the week. Follow the show on Instagram at Dog-Eared Radio Book Club to find out about our next read.
Hi, this is Nicole, and you're listening to All Access Pass, a show brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM. And I am back here with Kevin and Nikki. So if you missed the first part, Kevin and Nikki rode some bikes across Canada, and it was pretty crazy. And through it, they created something called Pedaling Possibilities. So as I understand it, Pedaling Possibilities was created before this trip across Canada, but it's still very much so in the infancy stages.
Yeah, still.
So do you like have any idea of what you want it to be? Like, do you want it to be a platform to encourage people? Do you want it to be like a point of contact where if someone goes, oh, I want to get into like hand cycling, but I don't know how, or like any other form of accessible cycling, but I don't know how, like, do you want to be a place for people to go to get more resources? Like, really kind of what's the infant vision here?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And there's a lot there that I don't really know. So like the initial part was like just doing the trip and creating that platform and the discussion. But yes, we want to raise money to get people involved in activity after injury in any form, whether it's hand cycling, which I love, or it could be kayaking or anything. Then just we also wanted to like really develop this route across Canada and like share it with people and allow people to access it if they want to, either in part or full. So yes, it's tough to say. There's a lot of work I need to do now. It didn't end with the trip, and I need to, like,
keep... Yeah, you gotta do all the boring admin work.
Yeah. But if I can get people out and active with a disability, for me, it's totally worth it.
Wonderful. Nikki, do you have any thoughts on where you would like pedaling possibilities to go? Or is that kind of just, like, Kevin's project?
Well, it started as we were going to build this route across Canada, use it as a platform. And then the more traction that we got, we realized that we can do a lot with some good funding by getting people, by helping fund people's adaptive equipment. And that's what Kevin really felt good about. Mm-hmm. His wife runs a clinic for activity-based therapy. So any form of activity, whether it's with a adaptive bike or adaptive kayak, as he said, or even activity-based therapy, which is an intense form of therapy that works everything below the level of injury. And it improves quality of life and improves mobility, improves independence of an individual with a disability. So if we can help fund programs for that, to get people in those types of ABT programs, or active with a sport and trying to find a new activity that way, I think we would feel really, really good about that.
Okay, awesome. So what I'm hearing is kind of like the groundwork of where we want, or where you two want pedaling possibilities to go, is A, more platform, more awareness, hopefully different provinces as well, even though you've already, like, crossed all of them. and being able to fund adaptive equipment and create spaces where people can go to experience accessibility in sport.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty solid. You got some goals in mind.
Oh, he's saying something. What'd you say, Kev?
Might take that, write that down. That sounds okay. Good.
It'll be pre-recorded. You can access the episode later.
I would also really hope that we could do an annual ride. Yeah. I think the way to get funding would to be doing an annual ride. It won't be across Canada, but to do a ride that's a good chunk, that can get people with disabilities out on different modes of locomotion, bikes or wheelchairs, and moving for long distances and trying to raise money that way. But keeping the idea of that we pedaled across Canada, so we want to pedal some more to help raise money.
I mean, like, throwing ideas in the dark. You could have someone bike across the province and then pass the torch on to someone else to bike across another province, and, like, have all these stops and, like, ways to celebrate and ways to really connect just across the borders. That would be really, really cool.
That's a very great idea.
Oh my gosh.
It's a relay. Like,
because no one has, not, you guys had 4 months, but not all of us have 4 months.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more digestible, and I think that might be a way to honor what you two have done.
That's all.
So the actual ride across Canada, as I understand, Nikki's partner drove an RV alongside you two, and you two lived in the RV during the nights you weren't cycling.
Not quite. we had my PSW, Candace Wins. Okay. She drove the RV, and she went from site to site. Like, she didn't follow us. Candace was, like, one third of the team. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. She, like, did everything. She drove the RV, cooked us dinner, helped with did my personal care. So Candace was, like, honestly, I wish she was on here, because she's one third of it. At the end, we Nikki and her partner drove the RV back. So
okay. I see. Okay. So logistically, this is a really big thing. Even for an able-bodied person. So, like, what was kind of the planning going into, like, eating, sleeping? Like, was there a goal of how many kilometers or miles to ride a day? Like, was there, like, all this, like, very strict thought going into the logistics of fueling yourselves and all of that? Or was it just we'll see how it goes?
Not that, but a little bit, like, we want to do, like, about 100K a day.
Okay.
But, we had to, it was based on campsites and where we could stay, where the RV would go. Like, sometimes we had to do, like, 140, because that's what it was.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, logistical things like that. And then just, we had to try and, like, keep a set schedule. Like, we can just be like, oh, we'll take forever.
Yeah.
trying to, like, move as much as we could. But there were days where we could only do, like, 60, 70 based on where we could stay. And then Candace would just, like, go ahead and, like, buy food and just make us really good meals. And we stayed as healthy as possible. With Nikki doing all her stuff. And, so I stayed really healthy. So that was amazing. No sicknesses. There were so many components to that, for sure.
Yeah, how was the technical bike troubles? Bikes are finicky.
Oh, that was, like, I had issues with my bike, and my bike's hard to fix.
Yeah.
And then having issues with her bike. I think Nikki, she changed like 12 flat tires.
That's it?
That's
a lot.
It's a lot, but I expected around 30.
Oh gosh, I don't know if I could have done 30. That would have been...
Were you riding with tubes?
Yes, okay. Riding with tubes, and there'd be days where I'd change a tube, and then a little bit later I'd pop another tire. Okay. So
I see.
By the end of the trip, we changed the entire tire, and got really good ones that lasted the last month, so I didn't have to change any tires on the Rocky Mountains, which I was really grateful for.
Were you riding on gravel or road, or like both?
Both. We mainly pavement. When Kevin, he can talk about planning the trip, but he, back home here in Newmarket, there's lots of trails and they're all hard packed gravel, and he is awesome on them. There's no trouble. So when he was planning the trip, he kept in mind, like, oh, gravel isn't so bad. But that gravel is a very big spectrum. It's a big word. It's not always packed. It could be sand. It could be broken asphalt. So we saw it all, and we just decided to avoid all gravel. So whenever we pulled up our commute, which would show us our route for the day, and it showed you what kind of terrain you'd be on, like broken, or not broken asphalt, but asphalt, gravel, unknown, we would maybe reroute so we'd avoid the gravel, because we would often get stuck or just have frustrating times during it.
Yeah, loose gravel is my worst nightmare.
Oh yeah, there was in Manitoba, and it was just like a foot of loose gravel. Oh, it was horrible.
So much in Manitoba.
Oh, good. Okay, good to know. If I go on a self training trip, it's not going to be in Manitoba.
Oh, and terrible roads. They're just not maintained. Broken asphalt everywhere, and
imagine being able to say, I biked all these provinces. Here are my favorite ones. That's such a cool thing to be able to say.
Never thought of that, but it is kind of impressive.
So, tell me about kind of any stretches where you were like, oh my god, I can't do this. Like, were there ever times where you were like, this is impossible?
Kevin?
So the first one was Newfoundland. We were in, like, basically hurricane weather. It was like 125 kilometers an hour. And it was just insane. Nikki was holding my wheelchair to stop me from tipping over, and holding her bike, and it was flying, and we walked at like 3 kilometers an hour just to get done. That was insane. And then there was through New Brunswick where we had like no service, and that was like 200 kilometers, and we were just basically like a heat wave, and we just like, I'm a quadriplegic, so I need water on me. So Nikki would have to like douse water on me like consistently, like every 30 minutes, and just finding water. So those two were pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's probably more. I'm
saying, prairies. Oh, come on. No, we Okay, Quebec, Kevin lost his hand cycle. Lost, stole. That was very...
Oh my gosh, what?
Okay, so I think every province had a con to it. So Kevin, talk about that.
Who would do that? That's such like a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, I had one of my hand cycles stolen off the back of my RV unit. Yeah, it was kind of... But, anyways, yeah, that was a big setback. But, so, yeah, Nikki, tell us about the prairies. What do you think?
The prairies. They were unexpectedly the most challenging mentally. If anything, like, leading up to the prairies, I think we were looking forward to the prairies because it was so flat. We're like, we can make so much ground. We even joked about, why don't we do a century ride, which is like 100 miles, and that equates 160 kilometers. We're like, oh, we should totally do that in the prairies. Meanwhile, the prairies, you have nothing to look at. Yeah. Is the exact same thing the whole time. It was hazy from all the smoke, and it was just so boring. Mentally, and the stretch of the prairies was Manitoba and Saskatchewan and some of Alberta. So we had 2 weeks of the exact same scenery. It's like watching the same sitcom 12 times a day, every single day, and you just like are so over it. It was very challenging. I personally, that was very mentally, and I think Kevin has expressed the exact same feelings that because it was so unexpectedly challenging to get up and want to do it again. But then the mountains came. The mountains came, we were in Airdrie, and we biked towards the Rockies, and that was like a surreal moment, biking towards new scenery, these like hilly things in the distance, and you got within them, and you're in the Rocky Mountains, and it made the prairies so worth it.
Yeah, that is one thing I'm so grateful for, is being able to bike in Vancouver, is you've got all the hills, you've got the mountains, you've got all the scenery, you can bike by the water, you can bike up to the mountains, like... I really try to not take that for granted, just all the, like, that's why I bike. I love to be outdoors. I love to see all these things, and running's too slow to do that. So, yeah, that is truly wonderful that there was that, like, moment of hope when you saw the mountains.
Yeah. yeah.
So, were there...
I was going to say...
Sorry, yes?
Hold on. Yeah. So, Kevin, do you want to talk about when we biked through Vancouver?
Oh, yeah, please do.
That was hard. Well, Vancouver is a bike-friendly city for sure. Mm-hmm. But so there were bike lanes, but we were going through and it was wet. So we'd like go up a hill that was so steep, and I'd be like sliding back. And then our GPS wasn't working, and we had to reroute like 20 times. And so Vancouver was challenging. It was beautiful, but yeah.
Which parts of Vancouver did you ride through, if you remember?
Oh, I don't remember, but we went to the park, and we got in the wrong lane. We got in the actual, like, at the bridge. We didn't get mm-hmm. We got on the road, and everyone was so mad at us. And we're just like, we can't move, we're trying. Like, and...
There needs to be signs like on that like causeway before the Stanley Park Bridge. I don't know what the bridge is called, but there should be signs that say cyclists must be on sidewalk. We don't bike on sidewalk. There is no intention for us to hop on the sidewalk. Maybe if we used our brain and saw the barriers of like the railing. But there should have been a sign or something. We can't have been the only ones that have ever done that.
I think it's really intuitive if you've lived in Vancouver your entire life, but, like, if you haven't, then it's really not at all. so, like, a sign would be cheap and helpful.
and that stuck, and everyone's honking and mad, like, justifiably, but we're just like, and then after that, Nikki was in such a bad mood.
That's fair. Yeah, like getting honked at.
Both were in terrible moods, Kevin. We both wanted the ride to be over. I knew Vancouver was hilly, but with the rain, everything was steep and the traction was off. So I was pushing Kevin up hills, and it was just.
Yeah, Vancouver is a good place if you like hills.
We went through a really beautiful Marine Drive. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That made up for the entire day because it was just unbelievable. Everyone should bike that very hilly road along the coast. It was just amazing.
It is truly so beautiful. I love biking that road. So pulling into Victoria, any big emotions? Like, what was going on? Was there a sadness? Like, tell me about how you two were feeling in that tiny little stretch back.
Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of weird for me. I'm like, well, this is the end. Like, yeah, it was happy and sad. It was like, and wanting to see all our family, but being like, oh, this is over. I don't know. It was
confusing. Yeah, I think there was definitely like, we were leading up to it. We missed our loved ones. We were ready to be home. Like, it was a long summer. So we were eager, but then when the day came, we were excited and nervous and didn't really know what was next, I guess. Because, yeah, what is next? Like, you finish this big thing and then it's like, now what? Do you follow it up with another big thing? Like, how do you keep this big thing going? How do you keep this, like, drive going? So
you generate all this momentum and you're like, I can't just let it stop.
But it was wonderful. Like, there was people there for Kevin that I don't think he's seen for a very long time, like EMS people that moved to Victoria that came out. So he had a really big gathering of loved ones that were there for him, which was really amazing.
Really cool.
That's really lovely. So we're just going to go to our second ad break now. But when we're back, I understand Kevin has a little story to share that shines some light on the less ideal parts of having accessibility needs. And then I'd like to get into, like, some more about pedaling possibilities and what's coming next and just really elaborate on that. So we'll be right back.
Great, thanks.
Waste is back in season. Join the celebration on October 21st from 6 o'clock at Jackson's General, or catch the live broadcast on CITR 101.9 FM. Jam up the tunes from Doozy, Anteater Eaters, Fool, Boy Motor, Yes Nuss, Sunny Daydream, and Mariella. See you there.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today. Hi everyone, you're listening to All Access Pass, a show brought to you by the Accessibility Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. If you missed the first two-thirds of the show, that's fine. I'm here with Kevin and Nikki from Pedaling Possibilities, who just biked across Canada. And we have been talking a lot about their journey. But right now, I'm going to let Kevin talk about something that happened on his flight back. So, Kevin, center stage, all you.
Thank you. So, like, biking across Canada was really challenging. There were so many obstacles. But one of the biggest things I was worried about was flying home. Part of the thing about flying with a disability is you can't stay in your wheelchair. Mm-hmm. So they move you to an airplane seat. Mm-hmm. Often people that are not experienced how to move you. And then your wheelchair gets taken underneath and can often get damaged and everything. So there's a lot of difficulties with flying, which I knew that going in. And the part of the thing is you have to get on the plane first and off last. So you're on there a couple hours longer. It's very painful for me. It's not a good experience. And through Pearson Airport, we got off the plane, finally got back in my chair, and then the elevator was broken down, and they had no way to fix it. They ended up saying they were going to call someone, and they said it was going to take 6-7 hours to fix it. And to me, that was unacceptable. So we got to the point where we actually had to pull the fire alarm and get someone there to, like, help, like, to actually get staff there. Yeah, it was just a really, really frustrating experience at the end of my trip. And there's just a lot needs to be done with air travel and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Do you have any, like, thoughts on how you would like that to be resolved in the future? Like, it is not, the onus is not on you to make these fixes, but do you have any, like, ideas on tangible ways these things can be addressed?
Well, absolutely. I think from the start, you should be able to travel in your wheelchair. That's a huge thing. Like, you, it's very specific seating with cushions, backrests, like, everything. So being able to stay in your wheelchair and have it with you, it's like a part of you. So having that go underneath is not right. And so that would make you more comfortable from the beginning. And then after that, it's just about making the airport, like, there can't just be one elevator. Like, to me, that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, there were ways around that. So just having, like, ways to get people out and understanding that, like, you know, sitting in your chair in a, for 6 hours is not acceptable. But I think it just starts with changing the way we fly.
Okay. I think that is, like, a goal, or that I hear, like, a phrase that I hear that isn't, like, because there are already so many issues with the way people with disabilities experience the world. It's a world that is very exclusive to people with able bodies, and there's just so much change that needs to be done. But I feel like a solid goal that's tangible and something that you can really focus on is, how do you fly when you have a disability, and how can we make it easier for people, easier and more comfortable and more humane for people with disabilities to fly? So that is, like, a really zeroed in goal that I appreciate you saying.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's great. I like, honestly, Canada is such an amazing company or country, and I don't on the negative part of that. Like, it was, we met so many amazing people there, and even in the airport there were amazing people. So I don't want to be negative about the trip. It's just that part was very hard and just something to bring light to.
Understandably so. Thank you for sharing that. So going back to pedaling possibilities, like, what's next? I know we talked that it's very much so in its infancy stage. Like, there are so many different avenues you could take, and funding is a very important part of being able to let those avenues really take flight. But yeah, we talked about a possible, like, annual ride of some sort, like, not of the same caliber, but maybe something similar. But, like, do you have any ideas on, like, the next thing? Like, what is next? Is it, like, talking to other news outlets about this trip that you did? Is it trying to find funding to create a small organization with, like, a little headquarters? Like, give me the lay of the land.
Yeah, for sure. So we've had a lot of, like, local support, which is amazing. Like, our mayor, John Taylor, is looking to do, like, an event for us to, like, start raising funds. Yeah, just, like, our local support has been amazing. For me, a big thing was I was able to, like, talk at schools and talk about accessibility, mm-hmm. and just talk with the kids. And there seems to be a lot of interest in that. And I definitely want to do that more, because I think, like, talking with the kids is, like, where you change things.
Yeah, sure.
And for me, it was so, like, emotional and overwhelming. Like, it was such a great experience. So I think that, and then any other talks to any groups, but there's a lot of work I have to do now to make sure, like, this route gets published and how to change it. So there's stuff I need to do too.
Awesome. And Nikki, your part?
My part, supporting Kevin. Watching Kevin shine in front of a classroom of kids and just keeping the conversation going, keeping Pelling possibilities alive via conversation and talking about our struggles and ways we can change things around here, even like in our little communities around town, but not letting it fizzle out, trying to keep just this little heart alive.
I have something to say, and then I'd like to get whatever words you've got to say as we part. But I think, and I'm someone who experienced sport as an able-bodied person, but I think one of the most important things I've ever heard that really resonates as I talk to you both about this is that sport is not about individuals, it's about communities. Sport is a practice that connects people, and I think that applies just as much to the disability community. But yeah, I don't know. I really think about that all the time, and I think it's very applicable here. And I'd like to hear any last words you two have to say.
Well, for me, I'm just going to say, like, for me, getting outside, getting active, like, finding what it is you love to make you happy, and just getting out there and do that. So I just say go out for a bike ride.
Awesome. Thank you. Nikki?
Movement is medicine. And for the able-bodied or the disabled-bodied, finding your thing again will help open up your spirit, your mental, your emotional, and help just brighten everything. So it might be tough to try to find a new sport. Kevin didn't bike ride before his injury, but now he's biking now. He's found his new niche. So being open to trying activity, trying things, being willing to fail. Kevin tried kayaking. How did that go, Kevin? It didn't go so well, but he tried. Yeah. And it's about those moments of finding what works for you, and something will click, and maybe that will be, as you said, community. It won't be isolated anymore. You'll be able to have people around you that have the same interests and the same mentality as you again. So try, find something, ask questions, start Google searching, reach out to us. We can absolutely help. But movement is key in any shape or form.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. Yes, Kevin, go ahead.
I just want to say, like, what Nikki was saying about, like, that, surround yourself with people who are supportive. Have a friend who's willing to bike across Canada with you, so.
Yeah, what you two have is just so special. It's so touching.
No.
Thank you so much to you two for coming on. It's meant the world that you stayed up so late, Ontario time, to chat. I'm really excited to see where Pedaling Possibilities goes, and I hope all my listeners also keep following. So thank you for listening to another episode of All Access Pass, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for having us.